As we continue discussing the sugya of katlanis, as we've been mentioning, the Gemara says in Masechta Yevamos that one of the reasons for the of katlanis is mazal gairim. And in mazal gairim, there's a big machloikish how to understand mazal gairim, and it has very significant ramifications la halacha. Pash pshat, mazal gairim means that she brings bad luck to these men. She causes them to die. However, there's a different pshat in mazal gairim. The other pshat in mazal gairim is that a husband is obligated to support his wife. This woman has bad mazal that she isn't destined to have panasa and to have a husband who can support her. So her husbands pass away in order that she should be left without a source of support. The Naida Behuda uses this concept of mazal gairim, this definition of mazal gairim, to discuss a very interesting shiloh. There was a woman who is very wealthy. After she's a katlanis, two of her husbands passed away, but she's a very wealthy woman. So the Naida Behuda says that it's obvious that she's not a woman that has a problem of mazal gairim, and therefore she isn't considered a katlanis. A tremendous chiddush. The Chasam Sofer doesn't agree with the Naida Behuda, neither does the Vechayim. The Shaila Meshiv says that Naida Behuda himself did not mean to rely on this as a full-fledged heter. He only meant to use it as a sniff. But this entire question that we're now discussing, we begin with the Naida Behuda, but really has a lot of ramifications. For example, we discussed in our previous year briefly if someone married a katlanis. So the Rama says we don't force them to get divorced. Why not? So I saw a vart from Rebbe Yoshev. Rebbe Yoshev says, as we quoted as in our previous year, that the source of the din of katlanis that we find in the Torah is by Tamar, that Yehuda was concerned, ki omar pen yomis gam hu ke'echov. Says Rebbe Yoshev, the pasuk says that after Yehuda married Tamar, v'loy Yosef oy ledata. And Rashi, in the Machloikis, how to understand what that pasuk means. But Rashi brings a pshat that what the pasuk means is that they continued living together, shloy pasak mimena. Why? If she's a katlanis, why did he stay with her? Says Rebbe Yoshev, once Yehuda saw that she doesn't bring bad mazel, then we need not be concerned. And actually, there's another raya. The Gemara Masechta Yevamos says that even though we have this concept of katlanis, let's say there's a woman who's a katlanis who now falls to a man to yibum. Can the man do yibum? And the halacha is that the paiskim say that yibum could be conducted. Aye, she's a katlanis. So some say that yibum, as we find, a shemeres yavam, particularly as we learned Masechta Yevamos not long ago, there's a zika between the shemeres yavam and the yavam. That in some level, they're considered like they're married. And like the Rama says, once they're already married, we don't separate them. But there's a different approach that many suggest. And that is that the mitzvah is stronger than the concern. And that's why in a situation where there's a mitzvah involved in getting married, and some say maybe in every situation there's an issue of getting married, there's a mitzvah. So there's a concept of shomer mitzvah lo yeda davar ra, and therefore we could be more makel in this entire concept of katlanus. And that's why I saw there are poskim that say if someone's wife died and his wife left over a sister who is a katlanus. And the poskim discuss many times, particularly if someone dies, someone's wife, Rachman Otzlan, passes away, leaving children, they used to marry the wife's sister. There's a mitzvah to marry the wife's sister. It's not yibum, but it's a mitzvah. Especially because she, the aunt, will raise the yisoymim. And is there concern for katlonis? So the Chedvas Yaakov says, we could be lenient. Or, I saw a tshuva from the Elif L'cha Shloima, that if you have a man who's a Talmud Chacham sitting and learning, who there's a woman who wants to marry him, a wealthy woman, who if he marries her, he will be able to sit and learn because his wife will support him. So the Elif L'cha Shloima takes a lenient approach. Again, we're doing a tremendous mitzvah in getting married. The Teres Yeshua says a very big chiddush, and there's a question how far to take his chiddush, in fact, is that a woman was a katlonis in Chutz Laretz, and now she will get married a third time, and they'll move to Eretz Yisrael. So we know that Eretz Yisrael is not under any mazel, and there's a schus of living in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Teres Yeshua, and the Shaul Meshev says this as well, that Eretz Yisrael, Asher Hashem Dairush Eisa, Eina Tachas HaMazel. And even though this woman has this bad mazel, if they're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, they need not be worried. Furthermore, there are some that say that not only need she not be worried if they move to Eretz Yisrael, there are those that want to suggest, a very bechiddush, it's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the entire din of katlonis doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. Because as we just said, Eretz Yisrael is a place that isn't under mazel. The Paiskim also are lenient, and actually it's negayah to pshat in our Gemara, machlokes rishonim, that a woman is not considered a katlonis unless she husbands died consecutively. But let's say there was a woman who was married and her husband passed away, and then she was married and she got divorced. And then she got married and her husband passed away. The Aruch HaShulchan says that woman is not considered a katlonis. It actually is connected to Machlokes Rishonim that we discussed in our previous year, that when our Mishnah speaks about the woman who had Erisin, and our Mishnah speaks about the woman who had Nisuin, we discussed in our previous year, are we speaking about the same woman, or are we speaking about different women? But Baruch HaShulchan and most Paiskin are lenient that we don't have a problem of katlanus. There's another factor that many Paiskin suggest, that the issue of a katlanus is only if there were no children from the marriage. But if there were children from that marriage, then that's not considered a katlanus. We can't say that a marriage that produced children, neither the pshat of Mayan Goyrim. So obviously she's not contagious. If she's contagious, how did she have children? And she's not bad mazel, because if they're bad mazel, they wouldn't have had children. So I saw a tshuva from the Michas Elozer in Chelik Beis Simen Ayin Vav, where there was a woman, exactly the Shiloh that we're discussing, was married and the husband passed away. Her married and her husband divorced her, and then married and her husband passed away. So the Aruch HaShulchan, as we said a moment ago, is lenient. The Mechitzah Laza says that if she had children from any of these husbands that passed away, we certainly could be makel. As we learned in the previous shir, the Shulchan Aruch said that if the husband died a natural death of old age, then she's not considered a katlanus. There's a very big machloikus hapoiskim, what is considered old age. There's those that say at 60, 70, and 80. Even though, why 60? Because we know that the Gemara says that someone who dies before 60, it's considered Nisa B'day Shemayim or Karis. Once somebody is not in that age bracket, so it's not considered Nisa, we could already be Momekel. Others say 70 because Yemeshma and Senebahem Shivim Shana. And others say 80 because that's when a person comes to Gvuros. Moreover, the Paiskim say that whatever age we say, it's not when he's 70. It's when he's 69, because when a person is 69, he's entering his 70th year. And a person is 79, he's entering his 80th year, and we could be more lenient. And therefore, here too, as I said a moment ago, if we have a situation where there were children, so even if we wouldn't want to say that a 60-year-old is, we could be makel, but it could be where he was, where there were children, as I said, it could be wherever there are children, there's no concept of katlanus. Also, if a person was sick prior to their getting married, so the Paiskim say, if he was already sick beforehand, he's not considered katlanus. The Pesachei Tshuva, at the beginning of this Simon, says that if a katlanus is only said on one woman who a number of her husbands passed away. But if we have a family, let's say there are two sisters in a family, and both of the sisters' husbands passed away, that is not considered a situation of a katlanus. A katlanus is only on the same woman whose husbands are not surviving. A katlanus is not considered a situation where it's different. A katlanus is not considered when it's different husbands. Moreover, as we read the words of the Ramah, and we just spoke about it based on our Gemara in the previous year, the Ramah says that a woman should nisgasha based pamim is not considered katlanus. And the reason are as follows. Number one, certainly, if we say mayon goyrim doesn't apply by katlanus. Moreover, as we know, gerushin are under the control of the husband. And if gerushin are under the control of the husband, she can't be considered at fault if she got divorced twice. And moreover, the Paiskim say, we only could say the halacha of katlanus where the halacha clearly says it. Where the halacha doesn't say it, we can't be machma. And that's why the second halacha in Simon Tes and Evan Ezer is also very understandable. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Ish shemeisa shtei nashiv." If you have a man who husband two of his wives died, einam enei atzmai. Me leave so he could get married a third time. The din of katlanus is only said on a woman, not on a man. And in all of these halachas, the poskim say, we don't want to be machmer. We want to be mekel. We want people to be able to get married and live and be healthy and have zera chayav v'kayamah.